He heals a sick man at a pool. After that, there was a Jewish festival, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, there was a pool, which in Hebrew was called Bethesda. There were five porticos around it, where a large number of sick people lay, including blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. They thought that an angel would come down to the pool sometimes and stir the water, and that the first person to go down after the stirring of the water would be healed, no matter what his sickness was. There was a man there who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had been a long time in this condition. So he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to lower me into the pool when the water is stirred. Instead, while I am going down, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was healed, and he picked up his mat and walked. That was on a Saturday. The Jewish religious leaders said to the man who was healed, "Today is Saturday. It is not lawful for you to carry your bedding." He answered them, "The one who healed me said to me, 'Pick up your bedding and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the one that said that to you, 'Pick up your bedding and walk'?" The man did not know who he was, because Jesus was hidden among the large crowd. After that, Jesus found him in the temple complex and said to him, "Watch out, you have been healed, but you must stop sinning, or else something worse will happen to you." Then the man went to the leaders of the Jews and informed them that Jesus was the one who had healed him. So they began harassing Jesus because he did this on a Saturday. The authority of Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "My Father doesn't pause from working, and I am working like him." For this reason, the leaders of the Jews resolved actually to kill him, because first of all, he violated the commandment to rest on Saturday, and secondly, he said that God was his own Father, and he made himself equal to God. So Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the Son cannot do anything on his own. On the contrary, he does what he sees the Father doing. And everything that the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does. And he will show him greater works than these, and you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so likewise the Son gives life to anyone he wants. The Father does not judge anyone, because he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all would honor the Son as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, anyone who listens to my words and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life. He will not be punished on the day of judgment, because he has moved from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming, in fact, the time has come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all who listen to him will live. And just as the Father himself is the source of life, he has granted the Son the power to be a source of life as well. He also gave him authority to conduct the last judgment, because he is the one who became man. Don't be surprised at this, because the time will come when all those who are in the graves will hear his voice, and they will come out. Those who have done good things will rise to eternal life, and those who have done bad things will rise to punishment in the hereafter. I cannot do anything on my own. Rather, I judge as the Father tells me, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Testimony about Jesus. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is someone else who testifies about me, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You sent messengers to John, and he bore witness about the truth. I say this not because I rely on the testimony of people, but that you might be saved. John was a bright, shining lamp, and you were willing to enjoy his light for a period of time. But I have a testimony that is greater than the testimony of John, the works with which the Father entrusted me, namely, the works that I am doing. These testify about me that the Father has sent me. Furthermore, the Father himself, who has sent me, bears witness about me. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and his word is not firmly fixed in you, because you do not believe the one he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that they will lead you to eternal life, and in fact, they bear witness about me. But you do not want to come to me that this life might be yours. I'm not looking for people's praise, but I know you and know that the love of God is not in you. I have come in the name of my Father, but you have not accepted me. Yet if someone comes in his own name, you accept him. How is it possible for you to believe when you expect praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from God alone? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you are putting your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he himself wrote about me. So if you do not believe what he has written, how can you believe my words?